a wormhole, probably about to burn. In a white tunnel, are you ever gonna learn? See a land, probably gonna merge. Gonna be dead laying in the dirt. Funny how you smart, but you still a nerd. Play your part. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jared Gray with my co-host Jordan Rains on a phenomenal Sunday morning. First thing news we got, Yannick Ngakoue to the Minnesota Vikings. What's up, Jordan? How you doing?
Not much, man. Good. Excited. I was up early this morning and I saw that come through the news feed and I was really excited. I was kind of getting a little worried. I know we're less than 2 weeks away and he's still with the Jags and he's still unhappy and he's still, I'm assuming, not practicing. He knew he wasn't going to play. So, yeah, it's good to see him go to a good organization like Minnesota. And I think he's going to, you know, knee-jerk reaction is he's, you know, I still had him in my top 24, you know, assuming he was going to play. And he's, you know, he moved up just a little bit in my rankings. But you guys can find out about that if you tune into the other podcast, Defense Matters, which I'll be going over a rankings update tomorrow. But what did you think about the move? I mean,
honestly, they were the one team that I really didn't hear anything about, like, hey, the Vikings are interested, you know, and it wasn't one of those things. You heard the Jets, you heard, you know, a few other teams, even the Browns you heard, but
I felt like the Eagles came up a little bit.
Yeah. So for a second and a fifth, come on, bro, that's a steal. Yannick Ngakoue is one of the, you know, if you look at sacks for his first 3 years, killing it. So Yannick Ngakoue to Minnesota probably helps Danielle Hunter as much as it helps Yannick.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for me, Danielle Hunter's stock was dropping because you lose Linval Joseph, who's an all-pro. I use Everson Griffin, who's an all-pro. That those are two massive losses, you know. And for me, you know, I was sticking my guns, Danielle Hunter's stock is dropping. Well, it just came right back up with, you know, with the addition of Yannick. That's crazy, man. It's just bonkers.
Yeah, I mean, 10 sacks is definitely, you know, in the realm of possibility with him. I'm assuming he's in shape. You know, I, you know, follow him on social media. So he should be out there week one. Not really sure exactly what his snap count will be or whatever. But, I mean, he's Yannick. He's going to be – I'm going to play him confidently as a DL2 starting week one. And I'm drafting him as a low-end DL1 for my team, high-end DL2 going into the season. Good pairing there.
Yeah, for sure.
Though.
I mean, it's better than Calais Campbell, you know, on the Gakway. So it's going to be scary, dude. I mean,
in other news, I saw that Todd Davis from the Broncos apparently could be ready for week one with the calf injury. That's good news. He had, 130-something tackles, 140 tackles last year, quietly out there in Denver. So that's good to hear.
AJ Johnson stock just dropped again. I mean, it was coming back up, and Todd Davis is playing. AJ Johnson's stock isn't as high. I mean, I like him, but so. What'd you say about the Bucks?
I saw the Bucks were opened contract and negotiation extension talks with Lavonte David. You know, he's kind of the reason I can't put Devin White into my top 10 because, I mean, Lavonte David is essentially a top 10 linebacker himself. You know, for IDP, in my opinion.
And he's super consistent. Super consistent.
And the Bucks want him back. He just had a great year this last year. So, I mean, it makes sense that they would want to extend him while they still have White on his rookie contract to see what he can do this year.
Agreed. I mean, it's a good deal. I mean, you know what you got out of Lavonte David. I think you really are going to figure out what you got with Devin White this year, as long as he can stay healthy. But, yeah, that's some big news over, you know, this week. So –
yeah,
just excited to be here. I mean, I'm like you. I got up early this morning when I saw the news, and
we got other big news. You just had a little girl, didn't you? This last week, congratulations.
I did. Had a little girl. We got up. Obviously, she's actually sleeping pretty good. You know, she got us up at like 3:30 this morning or 3:45. So I was like, well, do I stay up? So, it's good, man. She's doing good. She's sleeping well, and she's healthy and happy. So
awesome. Well, congrats, man.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yep. I guess before we jump into our top 10 defensive back rankings, that's the other thing, you know, the main meat of the show today. Just to let you guys know, I put out an announcement the other day, but Dynasty Nerds has decided to adopt the IDP 1-2-3 scoring format as their site standard for rankings and analysis and commentary. So that's big news for the IDP world. That's big news for Dynasty Nerds. That's big news for us. You know, here we've been consistently pounding the table for it, giving you guys, you know, information on it, giving you guys analysis through that lens, talking about players through that lens. And that's how the fantasy community seems to be trending. You know, I see it pop up in conversations, not just on Twitter, you know, but on, you know, Instagram and on Facebook and, you know, in Slack channels and in Discord channels. Like, people are talking about IDP 1-2-3 scoring. And now, you know, we have kind of have been backed and endorsed by one of the, you know, the biggest essentially dynasty brands that exist. And we're pumped. We're excited. And we're excited for all the new people that are going to come in and be looking for analysis on IDP 1-2-3 scoring. Don't forget, you know, it started here. This is what we do. This is what we love. And we're going to keep rocking it for you guys. And we're looking forward to this season, next year, and all the good things to come that come with that, and hopefully bringing some new content creators in and just getting more people playing IDP, which ultimately is the end mission. You know, it's about getting more people to play consistent, high-level, enjoyable, fun IDP fantasy football. So shout out to the Dynasty Nerds for that.
Yeah, super excited. I joined a league yesterday, IDP Iggy. He has a different format originally, talking about IDP 1-2-3. We switched on the go right then. So big shout out to him. He's on board and, you know, switched the entire league over to have IDP 1-2-3 scoring and make it as fun. I mean, it's growing. We're excited about it. Again, we've been pounding the table. Jordan has done a lot of work on this, and me and Steve, small inputs, but Jordan is the man on this one. So appreciate it, dude. Appreciate it.
Yeah, takes a village. So thanks to Dynasty Nerds for that. And like I said earlier, I do have my own little show, Defense Matters, mostly IDP, all fantasy football. That's mostly rankings. I'm going to do an update show tomorrow, and I'll drop that on its own feed. So guys, go check that out. And yeah, we appreciate you. And oh, I have some other announcements too. I haven't, but I'll give those on that show. Just some other random stuff that's going on I want to let you guys know about. It's been a crazy week. I mean, just – I feel like I've been so anxious and so excited. I've barely slept this week. There's so much going on. So definitely tune in tomorrow, Defense Matters show, and you'll hear even more big news about IDP fantasy football and content creation and some crazy stuff that's going down. So, but now for the really fun part, you know, less talking about us, more talking about players. Let's do this.
Yeah, let's get on this IDP ranking.
Backs. All right, I guess I'll
this is a tough one.
I know we have a different set of guys here, but a lot of the same guys. We'll just go ahead. I'm going to pull up. I got a graphic from this that I set up here for mine. I'll see who we got here in my top 10. I got Jamal Adams at 1, Budda Baker at 2, Landon Collins 3, Derwin James 4, Jabril Peppers at 5, John Johnson 6, Tracy Walker 7, Jordan Poyer 8, Harrison Smith 9, and I got Von Bell at 10. That's a little different than yours, Jared. Who's your number one?
My number one is Budda Baker, man.
There you go.
I mean, it's just tackle heavy guy. I mean, we make a joke about this. He doesn't have a single interception.
Yeah, he does,
you know, but well, but he does. I mean, the thing is he causes havoc around the field, and he's one of the most consistent tacklers in all the NFL. He led the league in tackles last year, so. Budda Baker's for real. And I mean, if it just tells you how good a guy is, I mean, look what he does to George Kittle. I mean, he's legit. Somebody's already talking about Minka Fitzpatrick not in our top 10 yet, but he's right on the edge for me. But
I've got Baker at 10, you know, or not 10, 2. The thing I like about him is last year, you know, he was the only player in 2009 to go over 100 solo tackles. He had 104. I know we have Isaiah Simmons and Devondre Campbell added in, but they also paid him. So they paid him for the production he's had and for the production he's going to continue to have, you know, and he's the first defensive back with over 100 solos since 2016 when our third guy on both of our list, Landon Collins, did it.
So. Yeah. Our lists are very similar here, and we agree. Landon Collins is real, dude. And it's funny because my first year in this other dynasty league, I actually dropped Landon Collins for somebody else, which most people will tell you it was a bonehead move. But I dropped him because I was going after somebody else in two other positions, as well as I knew that he was going, he just got injured. So, and it was the last year of the dynasty, so it wasn't that big of a deal to me. But Landon Collins is real. We agreed. Jamal Adams, my number two. He isn't changing. I think maybe him going to Seattle is just as big as him being in the Jets. So watch out. I think Jamal Adams has another big year. So
yeah, I've got Jamal Adams at one. You have him, you said at two. My thought process on him is pretty simple. You know, he's offensive back one. He's had the defensive back one overall season. Like, that's already in the books for him. He's moved to Seattle, and people are worried, you know, oh, maybe they play a rigid defense. You know, is he going to be a high-level producer there? You know, they didn't have super productive safeties. But when you look at Cam Chancellor, he missed a lot of time with injury during his career there. But the three seasons that he did play 15-plus games, those seasons, he averaged 99 tackles and 16 impact plays, which if you follow IDP 123 scoring, you know impact play is anything that's a three-point play or more. So you're talking about pass deflections, tackles for loss, you know, interceptions. He averaged 16 of those. Cam Chancellor was never an all-pro in his career. People love to talk about how great he was. He was never an all-pro. Jamal Adams, on his rookie contract, he's already been an all-pro. And he's been in the Pro Bowl twice. I think Cam Chancellor went four times. So Jamal Adams is better than Cam Chancellor was. So putting him into a system where Cam Chancellor was able to produce at a level that is good enough to be a defensive back one by any scoring system in any accounts, why would you fade this guy? It doesn't make any sense to me. And he's going to play 16. Well, you know, he played 14 games just last year. But I mean, he's almost never been injured. He was banged up a little bit, but, you know, now he's back and he's my number one. So, and he's your number two. You know, we kind of talked about Buda Baker. The guy I really like of this group and might be the most valuable is Landon Collins, though, at three.
Yeah, Landon Collins is consistent when he's healthy, 100%. Landon Collins is, I mean, what, two or three years ago, was the number one. Got injured. He's consistent. He's in a group where he still doesn't have any linebackers in front of him.
Yeah, that's true.
At Washington, their front four is rotationally ridiculous, but they don't have a ridiculous linebacker in the middle. Cole Holcomb's a good, solid guy. Who knows what they got in the other guys? Davis is old. But the fact of the matter is you got guys like, you know, Jamal Adams, Landon Collins behind him is just ridiculous. So,
I mean,
he's just going to wrap up tackles, dude.
If anyone was going to take number one from Jamal Adams, in my opinion, it would be Landon Collins, just because he does have that extremely high tackle floor. I'm running up these Jamal Adams videos Steve got up for us. But if you look at the tackle floor he's got, he's had over 100 tackles every year of his career except one, Landon Collins. The one year he did not have 100 tackles, he only played 12 games. So you look at the fact that he can do that. Plus, he can be a big playmaker. He had, what, we talked the other day, 9 tackles for loss, so he can get behind the line of scrimmage. He gets pass deflections. He forces fumbles. I mean, he's had an all-pro season, too, as a safety. So, again, something Cam Chancellor never did. So, to me, Landon Collins and Adams are the two kingpins. I have Buda, you know, up there just because his tackle floor I still think is super duper 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 high, but you could really interchange all three of these guys.
Yeah, agreed. And somebody just said they have Baker, Collins, and Poyer on their dynasty team. That's ridiculous. So here's where our number four spoke, Derwin James, right?
Yeah, we got to talk about Derwin James. You go first.
You put something out the other day that I thought was hilarious. High as everybody is on Derwin James because he had such a ridiculous rookie season.
Yeah.
He came back, you know, last year, played 5 games, 98% or more percentage plays, and wasn't a DB1.
He wasn't even a DB2.
So
he had zero top 24 finishes last year in the 5 games that he started, Derwin James. Now, I mean, I'm not hating on him, but I'm just putting out the facts. Derwin James, he played five games. He played almost 100% of snaps in those five games, and he couldn't get himself into the top 24 at defensive back.
Yeah, for the week. So. Yeah,
for the week. So, I mean, I get the tackles because of the fact that he plays safety, and they're going to help him get up there by the end of the season, but he's not – he barely helped your team. I mean, and I remember people talking about that last year, like, well, we didn't really even talk about him towards the end of the season. Nobody in the community did. He was playing 100% of snaps, but there was nothing to talk about. He wasn't getting anything done. So,
yep.
We have him still at four. I mean, that's showing respect. I mean, we understand that he can get up there, but you got to look at how he got there his rookie season. I mean, it was on the back of 13 pass deflections and 100-plus tackles. I don't think he's going to have 13 pass deflections. You know, the tackles, he was still on pace for a lot of tackles last year, but they added Kenneth Murray, you know.
Oh, man.
They added
and Nick Vigil.
So, Derwin James, I mean, he's done it once, and he did it a certain type of way. I want to see him do it again before I anoint him as my number one. And people that have anointed him as their number one, I mean, I don't see it as justified. And I just don't. I've looked, and I've gone back and looked so many different times. I keep looking at it because I'm like, am I the one who's, you know, maybe too low on him? And every which way I look at it, I'm just like, nah, I can't. I have him in my top five, but that's as high as he can go for me is four, and he's four for
me. I mean, when you're pulling full stats and, you know, we can't do nothing but pull real stats and, you know, the facts of the matter is that, and if he's not a top 24 playing 100% of snaps, then you have to fade him a little bit. I mean, he's still in the top five. I mean, let's be real here, but on both of our lists, but there's still some iffy for sure. And that's something we got to look at, and it's,
you got to be real.
You want to see it happen again. So,
yep. All right. So you had at number five, you have John Johnson. I have Jabril Peppers. We've talked about Jabril Peppers on this show a lot, guys. I mean, he was basically pacing to have the exact same season that Landon Collins had last year before he got hurt in, what was that, week 10, week 11. So, I mean, he's a walking big play. You know that from college. He didn't really have – wasn't really put in a position to succeed as a, you know, as a rookie and as a sophomore in Cleveland. But this last year, when he got to the Giants, I mean, he was successful. I don't really know why.
Played very well.
Yeah.
Played very well with the Giants. I mean, he was definitely put in a position to make plays last year. And like you said, you can see him when he was in college. He was the number one recruit in the country coming out of high school. But
just went down too.
Yeah, with Xavier McKinney going down, if you don't think that his stock ain't skyrocketing, I mean, Love is their backup behind McKinney. Jabril is real. So,
yeah. You don't have him in your top 10, though.
It's the neck.
Okay.
I got to see him come back 100%. I mean, tell me this. You got Leighton Vander Esch in your top 20?
Ooh, I think he's in my top 20. Actually, he might.
He's not in your top 15. He was the top five last year going in.
True, yeah. He was.
It's the neck. It's the neck. I'm sorry. It's a neck issue. Scares me just a smidge. No, he's not in my
top 20. Yeah. I mean, that's fair. That's fair. I'll give it to you.
So, I mean, I love Leighton Vander Esch, and I think Leighton Vander Esch, if he's healthy, is a top 10 linebacker all day, every day. And I feel the exact same way about Jabril Peppers. We have had this conversation. But I'm not going to go with the masses. I'm going to have fun with this. I even have somebody barely outside my top 10 and who I really think could be a top five guy, and he's my splash candidate. And we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But
we'll talk to
him with you.
Guy who is number five, John Johnson. I know you've been a huge John Johnson truther.
Okay, so I get that John Johnson was injured too, but it wasn't a neck. John Johnson was on pace last year for, what, 160 tackles when he went out in game five? So, dude, this dude's ridiculous. I mean, what do you – you're going to have to pull this up for me, Steve, but it's something like 55 tackles in like a couple games. Yeah, it was ridiculous. So, he was on pace for, you know, the Buda Baker stats. And if you don't think he's going to be there this year with Corey Littleton gone – then you got another thing coming. John Johnson is a tackle machine. He's a phenomenal playmaker. Taylor Rapp has been hampered by injury. this whole offseason. He's had his leg wrapped. Reports come out of camp. John Johnson is literally tackling everybody. Has got like 6 interceptions in camp. I love John. If John Johnson stays healthy, he might be the DB1 this year, and I'm planting my flag on the guy. He's that good.
I love it.
He's a baller.
I got him at 6, right behind my dude Jabril Peppers. You know, you kind of said it all there. I mean, he's set up to succeed because, you know, the linebackers in front of him are questionable at best, and we've seen him crush the tackle numbers. He's put up huge tackle numbers, 130-plus, pacing, like you said, for like 150 tackle season last year before he went out. There's nothing not to love about John Johnson. And, yeah, he got injured last year, but it was like a shoulder injury. I mean, it's not like those are uncommon, you know. It's not like people don't come back fine from those. So,
yeah.
I love John Johnson as well. He's my number 6 guy. So, who do you have at 7?
I'm going to have to pull that up, to be honest with you.
You got Tracy Walker. That's the same guy I got. I was just
– Yeah, Tracy. I thought Tracy Walker was the same guys. So, we both like Tracy Walker. You know, you got guys, the guy that replaced him last year when he got injured has moved on. Quandre Diggs is not there. They brought in who I think is a phenomenal corner, you know, in the rookie class.
Okuda?
Yep, Jeff Okuda is for real. I mean, I really like him. So, but man, you can't. You're going to have to play with Stafford because Stafford, dude, he's got a howitzer, still has he's a baller. And he was on pace for QB1 last year before he got injured. So to play with him, you're going to have to go at Tracy Walker. And he's shown time and time again, as long as he doesn't hurt that knee again, because he hurt it twice in 3 weeks last year, when he was healthy, he was balling out.
Yeah, I mean, 103 tackles, you know, in 13 games, 12 started, 8 pass deflections. You love to see that. 6 tackles for a loss. I love to see that. So, you know, the roof is the ceiling, as they say, I guess, with Tracy Walker. We've seen him go over 100 tackles in a short number of games. We've seen him have the impact plays. You know, the pass deflections are up there. The tackles for loss are up there. Both of those, I mean, that's deep down the field. Consider, you know, you would think getting the pass deflection, and that's behind the line of scrimmage.
So you're looking at those stats. All you can think of is what Derwin James did his rookie season, what Jamal Adams does every season.
Yeah.
Right? Tackles for loss, pass deflections, interceptions, forced fumbles, and a high tackle number. Tracy Walker is nothing to shy about, dude.
Yeah.
As long as he keeps that knee healthy. Yeah. He's good.
I think 7 is a good spot for him, maybe a little low, honestly, the more I think about it. I mean, he had similar kind of arc situation as Jabril Peppers, but he had more tackles than Jabril Peppers. So maybe I have him a little low, if I'm being real with myself.
The top 7 alone is – if you got – somebody just said they had 3 of the top – our top 7 or top 8 on their list. So on their team, that's ridiculous, man. I mean, again, we're going to preach this IDP 1-2-3 scoring. And during, if you have this quarterback gets a point, you know, force, fumble, 3 points, you know, fumble recovery, pass defended, safeties, block kicks, all 3 points, solo tackles, 2 points, an interception, 6 points, a sack is 6 points. Dude, we just described Derwin James. We just described, you know, your boy Jamal Adams. You know, nobody's a bigger truther on Jamal Adams than you are. But thing is, did we not just discuss Tracy Walker in this one too? So, yeah, all 7 of these are definitely part of, you know, can show every part of this game. And that's why they're on our list right now. So,
yeah, and they're all tier 1 for me too. I mean, if you don't get one of, you know, those guys we talked about, you know, I mean, I even have the 2 other guys on my list here. There are still tier 1 defensive backs for me after them. I have Jordan Poyer and Harrison Smith both still in my tier 1. All those guys, top 9 for me, are tier 1. Von Bell is where I break off into tier 2. But I know you have Jordan Poyer in your top 10 as well. You have him at, let's see here, you have him at 6. So, yeah, we're pretty locked up there. And then we have Harrison Smith. Who do you like? You know, you have Poyer a little ahead of Smith, and so do I. So why do you like Poyer over Smith?
The age.
Yeah, he is he's about 2 years younger, and he had he has a little higher tackle floor too. He had 100 tackles the last two seasons. Harrison Smith, he's more down in that 85-90 area. But Harrison
Smith, Harrison Smith is the splash guy. That's not, you know me, I'm a truther on Harrison Smith. You know, he's the one white safety in this group. So that dude is he's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, he's a leader. He always makes big plays. With Harris next to him, he's the box safety, you know, that we talk, because Harris, had what, 6 interceptions?
Five or seven.
So he's got to be in the talk for big contract talks when you're talking about that, when considering they just signed Yannick and they already have low cap space. Harrison is, he's true, man. I like him. The age is the difference for me with Poyer and Harrison Smith. So I like him, but Poyer's, dude, he's as good as Harrison Smith. He's younger, and he stays healthy. So Poyer's real. And he's on a defense. The thing is, he's doing that with the defense that he has in front of him, which is loaded. The Bills' defense is ridiculous. But you can't stop it. We always talk about Harrison Smith. He's everywhere. And, you know, we're just popping some video and guy's there. He's basically another linebacker. You know, they're top. They've got 3 good levels now. You know, it's funny because somebody was talking about it this morning. You have Harrison Smith and Harris on the backside. You have Barr and Kendricks in the middle. And now you have Ngakoue and Hunter, which is awesome to see. Really is.
Mm-hmm.
But why do you have Poyer behind Harrison Smith?
I have Poyer ahead of him, I think.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I'm similar to you. My thought process is essentially that Jordan Poyer, he had a little bit higher tackle floor. He's had 100 tackles, over 100 tackles the last two seasons. And he had 23 impact plays in 2018 and 16 impact plays in 2019. But Harrison Smith, his tackle numbers are a little bit lower. He's floating around that 85-80 number, but his impact plays are higher. He's consistent with his impact plays, 25, 24, and 24 over the past three seasons for Harrison Smith. That's huge impact play numbers. Those are all anything in IDP 1-2-3 scoring that's going to be over 3 points. So, that's a tackle for loss, that's a forced fumble, fumble recovery, pass deflection, interception, all those. Tackles for loss are lumped in there too, because they usually stack with the solo, so they end up being a plus 3 point play. He makes up for the fact that, I'm sure, he doesn't have 100 tackle floor, but he, again, 25, 24, 24 impact plays. Those are 3 point plays or more. That's the most of any defensive back kind of in this top tier, and consistency wise, that's by far the most. And there's some guys that are in that top tier that have, sunk down to that 15, 16, and some of them have gotten up to 30, but no one's done it as consistently as Harrison Smith has done it. So that's why he, for me, is still in my tier one. But again, Poyer gets the title, this little bit of an edge, because he does have a little bit higher of a tackle floor. So that's kind of my thought process on the two of them. But yeah, the plays we've got here from Harrison Smith, they're big boy plays. He had a sack in the other one. He has interception in this one. That's a big impact play. That's a 6 point play right there in IDP 1-2-3 scoring. Both of them are. So, there's only so many safeties that are versatile enough to do things like this. Who doesn't do things like this? Jesse Bates. He's not going to be behind the line of scrimmage getting a sack, probably ever. Very rarely. So,
tackle number guy, though.
High tackle number guy, but he just, you know that the impact plays are probably not going to be there for him. So that's why he isn't tier one for me. But that's kind of the difference between the two of them for me. Let's take a look here. I think your number 10 is Justin Simmons, and mine is Von Bell. So talk to us about Justin Simmons, why he made the top 10 for you, and, just your thought process for him this year.
Even when they brought Eddie Jackson in, it didn't change the fact that he was a top 5 safety. You see his closing speed. It's great. His tackles are great. When you can run down Odell Beckham, you're somebody. Okay. And that, like we keep talking about other guys who have a high number of tackles, it's because they don't have a phenomenal amount of support in front of him, right? He's got great coverage skills. He's a big splash. He gets tackles for loss. He gets interceptions like we're seeing here. He's a team leader. He's always healthy. I mean, and he's a 100 tackle guy. So he doesn't get enough love. I mean, 2 years ago he was a top five guy, and then last year he was a top 10 guy. So, but nobody talks about Justin. Oh, they brought in Eddie Jackson. Okay, bro, that's great. Eddie Jackson's a corner. Right, Justin Simmons was number 9 last year in pass deflections. 15, bro? Dude, give me all of that. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, he was up there in the pass deflection department last year, especially as a safety. I mean, he's up there with guys like Tre'Davious White, Lattimore, you know, Logan Ryan, just a couple more than him. My number 10 guy is Von Bell. I really like the move of Von Bell to the Bengals because they need a safety there that is a little more diverse than what they have. Not that, you know, Sean Williams hasn't been good, but I think we can all agree that Von Bell offers a little bit more. He had a really great season this last year with the Saints, kind of his first full season getting all of his starts, Von Bell. You know, he had like 5 forced fumbles or something like that. A lot of impact plays for him. He did miss a couple of games, but he also, I think, had the highest number of tackles in his career. If I'm accurate here, it's like 89 or something like that. But again, he played an abbreviated season. So, yeah, 13 games. So there's a world where he could have easily gone over 100 tackles and still had all these impact plays, like 4 tackles for a loss, 4 quarterback hits, 5 pass deflections, and he had 5 fumble recoveries. So. And interception. So, I mean, he's shown himself to be a big play guy. And the Saints, for whatever reason, they didn't even really start him the 2 seasons before that very often. I mean, he had 10 and 8 starts, played 16 games. So I think in a defense that's a little bit more traditional in how they approach playing their guys, and they're going to stick Von Bell out there, I'm kind of hoping and assuming. I expect him to have a really good season this year. He did fall into my tier 2 in my rankings. And originally, early in the offseason, I had him up as high as 6. But I just dropped him down a little bit because the more I was looking into some of the consistency of some of the other guys, some of the ways these other guys score their points and have, again, consistently done that, Von Bell still hasn't really gone over that, hasn't really hit that peak that I'm looking for. I expect him to break out. I think he's going to have a great season. I'm glad he's in my top 10. But he is the first guy in my tier 2 at defensive back. So that's where I had Von Bell. And I really like him this year a lot. I love getting him.
I love Von Bell too.
You can get him so late too. As a DB1, you can get him very, very late. I mean, you know, theoretically, your first defensive back goes off the board in a super flex, full IDP league, what, like round 9? You can get Von Bell sometimes in round 25, 26. So – as a guy who could go neck and neck with a guy like Derwin James, a guy like Jamal Adams, who are going to go, you know, 15 rounds sooner, I love being able to get Von Bell just because he hasn't quite done it yet and put him on my team and just rock.
Yeah, we preached him, you know, for the last 2 years, you know, there's a guy to grab. It's Von Bell, and now he's in a better spot. They paid him. I mean, they flat paid him. So – Sean Williams is going to play nickel probably, I would think, which kind of moves into the box safety wise, which is only reason people are thinking about keeping Sean Williams because you don't know where they're going to be. They're so young at linebacker. I mean, they drafted 3 who could all 3 start, to be honest with you. We'll see what happens with that. I like Von Bell with you. Again, Justin Simmons is too consistent for me. He's a high pass deflection guy. He's a big play waiting to happen. He's tackles for loss, gets sacks. That's why I stick with Justin Simmons. I've got one guy as my splash candidate.
Yeah, tell us your splash candidate because we've been talking about him a little bit here and there and everywhere.
I do talk about him a lot, and that's Terrell Edmunds. I will continue to pound the table for anybody that had 71 solos last year. I'm going to give you a quick stat. Pulled up 2 DBs over the last couple of days, over the first 2 years, and one had their breakout year last year. Okay, Terrell Edmunds had more tackles, more pass, the same amount of pass deflections, and about the same amount of tackles for loss and sacks as Budda Baker through his first two seasons.
Hmm.
He actually had more, he has more solos in his first two seasons than Budda Baker.
Really?
So
interesting.
He has, because Budda had 68, and then he had like 53 or something like that, and then blows up with 140 last year. So pass deflections there. He has more interceptions than Budda Baker, even if it's just one, which is all he has to have. He has the pass deflections. He has, what, three sacks and like six tackles for loss. So Terrell Edmonds, with as great as that team is, you know, defensively, you're going to have to play with him. And I mean, people stay away from Minka because he's just an interception waiting to happen. So
yeah,
Terrell Edmonds is the guy. He's the box safety with great cover skills. He's their Jamal Adams. And because they put him in the box and have him rested, you know, quarterback. So Terrell Edmonds is without a doubt my splash candidate. He's a 100 tackle guy all day. You know, 100 tackles last year with 70. He had more solo tackles, and I continue to say this, than Devin Bush last year. So
Terrell Edmonds.
And Terrell Edmonds. So that's my splash candidate. So, and he's a guy you can get mega late.
Mega, and mega late.
He could be your DB3, and you could be happy as heck about it. So, again, I dropped Tyrann Mathieu out of my list for that.
Because you're a hater. You're a hater.
I love Tyrann Mathieu, but
– no, it's too late. You've been exposed.
But it's the things. I love Terrell Edmonds is young. I mean, young. He's third right, year. So
here's where I got him at my rankings. I got Tyrann Mathieu at 13. I got your boy Terrell Edmonds at 14. And in my notes, I've got it written down here, 105 tackles last year. That's big. You know, that's big. Only five impact plays, but can make a jump. And like you said, I mean – he's on a team where the plays they're going to be there. There's going to be chances to be a playmaker. We had a question on here from Jared Wackerly. He said, "Where's Minka?" I got Minka at 21. Both of the safeties from the Steelers in my top 24. Minka's a different animal, though. He's definitely not going to get you 100 tackles. In 2019, 69 tackles, 21 impact plays, though. So you like to see that. And the year before that, 14 impact plays, 80 tackles. But he only started 11 games in 2018. So he had more tackles and less games in 2018 as a starter. Still had a pretty high number of impact plays. So I am that's kind of where my thought process on those guys. But I'm a what did I miss? Oh,
the honey badger don't care.
Yeah, he don't care where Jarrett's got him ranked. I wouldn't blame him either. I got him at 13. He's just outside my top 12. He and Terrell Edmonds, like different players. You know, I don't think Honey Badger's going to get anywhere close to 100 tackles. He never has, but he gets a lot of impact plays. Kind of the inverse situation of Terrell Edmonds, kind of a low impact play number guy, like you said, but chance to go up in that department and a super high tackle floor. So
this dude just said he got Collins, Peppers, and Johnson in his draft last night.
That's awesome. I gotta tell you, I'm in the IDP Army Listener League 2, which we're in our draft right now. It started up like on Wednesday or Thursday, and I took Jamal Adams, and I came back around the next round and I took Derwin James. So, you know, Derwin James is a nice defensive back too. You know, I think he settled in real comfortably on my team in that second spot, even though he didn't have a defensive back 2 week last year. I'm confident that he can come back to those 2018 heights. So,
yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, dude, Melvin Ingram looks good now that he's signed again. You know, Bose is real. Kenneth Murray is apparently a tackling machine. They brought in Nick Vigil, which they brought in Nick Vigil before they even signed Kenneth Murray. Got Drew Tranquil. Derwin James, the iffy one. So do they let him just sit in the back? And, you know, we don't know. But he's too talented and too athletic to not put in your top five. So
yeah, exactly. And he did have a top five season. Like, he did do that. He wasn't top three, you know, it was top five. So I just can't put him at one either. I mean, we know his absolute known ceiling is only so much. The situation's different. And like you said, we said earlier, like the last five games of the season, He played 100% of snaps, 99.7, and zero top 24 weeks at defensive back position. Zero. So that's a DB1, DB2. He was not that for your team. Playing 100% of snaps on the exact same team last year. Yep. So you heard it here first. Derwin James is a massive bust candidate.
He, without a doubt, is a bust candidate. Let's not get this twisted.
But again,
people are taking him number one.
Exactly. So, if you take him one, I don't even think one is in his range of outcomes, really. I mean, he's gonna have to get a ton of interceptions, you know, a ton of impact plays, essentially.
Which could happen.
Yeah, disruption.
Depending on how their quarterback play goes, the defense could be on the field.
I like
a lot,
five. So I feel like he could finish at DB 10 to 12 as easily as he could finish in the top three. So,
yep.
What we got here? Blake and Derwin equal New York Giants tackles. Peppers, he meant. Haha. Gotcha. Yeah, that's definitely – I mean, Peppers should get a ton of tackles this year. I mean, not like he wasn't getting a ton of tackles last year. If anybody that's going to listen to the podcast, we're just kind of reading off some comments we got here from Periscope and YouTube, guys. Some questions coming in from Blake Hartley, 4144. We had Seahawks Dan come in here and say what's up to us. T-Fizz, 133. Thank you, guys. We appreciate the support of the show. If you feel inclined, go leave us a little 5-star rating and a review, you know, on the old Apple podcast. That always helps for the listener bump.
We would appreciate it.
Get the word out there. We got a question up here. Somebody wanted me to talk through IDP 1-2-3 scoring real quick. So I'm just going to do that again really fast here. Essentially IDP 1-2-3 scoring is 1, 2, and 3 point plays. You're going to have 1 point plays are going to be your quarterback hits and assisted tackles. 2 point plays are solos and tackles for loss. 3 point plays are forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, pass deflections, safeties and block kicks. The reason I don't give the safeties and block kicks like huge premiums, I've heard it said by some people around the community. It makes sense. You know, when you get these outlier plays like that that happen once or twice a year and you give them 10 points, they just kind of spike the week and they're totally unpredictable. So I keep them down there in still the impact play category as a 3-point play, but they're not going to be treated any more special than any of the other impact plays, if that makes sense. And then you're still going to have your touchdown, so to speak, your sack, your interception, your IDP touchdown. Those are going to be your big IDP plays. So that's the framework of IDP 1-2-3 scoring. You can add – I like adding kick return yards, fumble recovery yards, and sack yards in there where available on your platforms. And, again, that just gives you more chances to, you know, separate one of your players from somebody else. If they're on the field doing actions that help their football team, they should be scored. You know, there's no reason not to score an action, especially in IDP where you're not getting a yardage element. So you kind of have to get your points where you can get your points. And that is one way to add a yardage element to your IDP scoring. So – I like tacking that on there as well. And yeah, that's kind of just the gist of IDP 1-2-3 scoring. That we'll have a new kind of revamped, redone Dynasty Nerds specific article up soon. I think that's like next week. We're working on the graphics for it right now. But the original article was my pinned tweet on my Twitter, but it's on my timeline, guys. Go check it out. IDP 1-2-3 scoring. We're taking over.
Even posted it the last couple of days. So
yeah. So people know what it is at this point. We've got the word out pretty efficiently, and Dynasty Nerds endorsing it and kind of taking that in under their wing is going to help it get out too. So I'm interested to see what kind of analysis comes out of it from around the community, from other people, see what other people can kind of make of it and see if they have any insights to offer. I mean, we really just started creating it this last year and started studying it. We've only had one season to really look at it. So I think a new season under the microscope with more eyes on it is going to, you know, help identify, you know, things that are good and bad about it and, you know, make your tweaks as you want to. I've seen a couple of tweaks where people go force fumble 4, pass deflection 5. Go for it. I mean, I'm all for more points. I don't want my IDP players to go over my offensive players, but, you know, you still have the true ceiling is still a little bit higher for offensive players just because of the yardage element that they kind of get. So.
So I like this question, with Yannick being traded, does Chase on start right away? Well, I will tell you, they're not all about just starting a rookie. Obviously Josh Allen was a baller last year and he only played 60% of snaps. So yeah, if you're that good of a player and you're only playing 60% of snaps, how much does Chase on play? And who feels the, does Chase on feel the other role is the question. You know, that's the real question, because he's a defensive tackle.
That's a great point too, like you said, because Dante Fowler, they barely started him and they took him top three and he barely got any starts in Jacksonville. So yeah, that's a great question and a great answer. That I don't really know. You know, my knee jerk reaction was yes, but then as soon as you started saying that, I remember I was doing a lot of Dante Fowler research in the last week or two, and you know, once the snaps were there, he was successful. It's like, why wasn't he successful in Jacksonville? Because they started him like three games or something crazy like that.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, and him going, you know, Dante Fowler going to Atlanta, I think is huge for him. I think he's going to have the biggest sack year that Atlanta's had in a long time.
I have been swooping him up everywhere. He's double tagged in sleeper. Yeah, Yannick, this is insanity. Dante Fowler, who played like 30 something games for Jacksonville, they took him three overall, started one game for the Jacksonville Jaguars. One.
Yeah, so.
Whoa, that's crazy. That's insanity.
Yeah. Let me see your offensive score.
Russell Mitchell, what would you say your offensive scoring ratio IDP 60 to 40? I mean, IDP 1-2-3 is supposed to set it up to where
pretty close.
I mean, the season long upside and the weekly upside are matched. I mean, it's not 60-40. It is in a week an offensive player can hit a certain number, you know, in 60 minutes and so many plays with so many things happening. Same for a defensive player. I mean, so
yeah, we saw somebody scored 50 points last year, right?
Several guys did, but I mean, several offensive guys did too. I mean, I think it was seven, yep, eight offensive players hit 50 plus points last year. There was five defensive players in IDP 1-2-3 scoring that hit it. Chandler Jones hit it twice. Za'Darius Smith hit it. Jamal Adams hit it once. I think Joe Schobert hit it. But I mean, they were all like 55, 54, 51. And that was the same with the offensive players. I mean, Diggs hit like 53. Russell Wilson hit 50 something. Aaron Jones hit 50 something. CMC hit 50 something. So your top end guys on your offense and on your defense have the same kind of ceiling with PPR scoring in IDP 1-2-3. And season long, I mean, it was all very similar too. I mean, the top end defensive players, this is all in the article and it'll be on the article on Dynasty Nerds too, guys, but the top tier defensive, top defensive players at each position scored like between 320 and like 355 points. And the top players at all the offensive position scoring finished between, well, CMC was like 400 something, but then it was like in the 300s essentially for all the other offensive scorings, like 278 for tight ends. So I mean, the ceiling's the same week and season. So I mean, there's no 60-40. I mean, it just, you can score what you can score, but they should all be able to score similarly.
Yep. Yeah, really, dude, I think Josh Allen balls out this year. I planted my flag long, long ago. And I don't care that and I said if Yannick gets traded, it doesn't matter to me. It maybe just puts more of a spotlight that he's going to play more, which, sure, you can – they're going to move him wherever he wants. The dude had 60 tackles and 10 half sacks, led all rookies in sacks, by the way, on 60% of snaps. And he's that good. I mean, 100% that good. So – Josh Allen is my splash candidate for the DL1.
Yeah. The question was from Michael Diaz, just for anybody that's listening on the podcast later. It was, I really like Josh Allen, but I think he may have a little learning curve this year without Yannick on the other side. More attention will be focused to him. That's what Jerry was responding to.
They'll move him wherever they want to move him. And if Chaseon plays, Chaseon is a splash, and he does make great plays. So – I think it just helps him. They're stout enough in the middle where I think you're just going to see him just ball out anyway. So,
P. Hartley,
we have a question.
Go for it. Read the question off. What to say? Where do you rank Jonathan Allen this year in Dynasty? That's a great question. Let me pull up my Dynasty ranking.
I mean, he's a good pull up for Dynasty. I mean, I don't love him for the year. I just don't know what you're going to get out of him. Even though Harris had a phenomenal year last year, considering when Abram left. I like Abram. Abram was my only safety, I believe, last year in my rookie rankings. No, so I take that back. He was three. I had three safeties in my thing last year, maybe four, but he was my top safety. So I like Jonathan Abram. I think he has a lot of talent, and I think he's a great dynasty player. Hopefully he comes back from injury. It sucked that he got injured so early. But for me, I think he's 21.
Yeah, so, I can't get my – for whatever reason, my laptop is being weird. I'm not able to pull up my dynasty rankings. I'll pull up where I have him in redraft right now. In redraft, I have him at 15. I know our consensus dynasty nerds have him in top five, which I think is a little bit heavy-handed by some of my contemporaries out there. But if you believe in him, that's what's up. So I don't know where he is in my dynasty rankings, but our site consensus right now, I know he's like at five or six. People have high hopes for him. I mean, he was a first-round pick for a reason. He has a reputation for being a hard hitter. So I think the ceiling is there. But for me this year, he's at 15. I love him as a two, you know, a guy that I can play and I don't have to count on. But if he hits, like I know, like I said, you know, the ceiling is probably there. So,
yeah. Got another question. Does Roquan leaving bump Baker? I don't think it changes Baker at all. Roquan Millen. Somebody asked me if it hurt Littleton's status. Roquan Millen is really just going to be a guy that is a filler for them. And he was a filler from Miami. He's not what Miami wanted, and they moved on from him quick. I mean, really quick. So,
yeah. Guys, do us a favor. You know, if you're in Periscope, hit that share button. Get this out there for people to, you know, we got 1 week. You know, we're away from the football season kicking off. That redraft, I got two live drafts today. Maybe someone will see this. We'll get more people in the IDP army. We'll get more people playing IDP fantasy football. So click that share button. Get this out there. Tell your friends. Don't keep us a secret. You know, we want this to get out there. We want people to start enjoying fantasy football at a large scale. And it's happening. You know, I mean, you can see it. The outpouring of love on the timeline whenever, you know, and some of the people that came out of the woodwork when, you know, Dynasty Nerd said they were going to adopt IDP 1-2-3 scoring really shows you that people are thirsty for high quality IDP fantasy football content, and people are, you know, thirsty for structure and analysis within a given structure, and, you know, getting this thing really off the ground, you know, wheels up, as they say. I mean, IDP fantasy football has been on the runway for years, decades, not decades, years, 10 years at least. Let's get the wheels up. Let's go. Like, let's catch up to offensive fantasy. So get, you know, hit that share button, share this with somebody, tell people about it. Russ says he has two drafts today too. Yeah, man, I'm nervous. I have barely slept the past 2 days. I've been thinking about all my drafts coming up. These are my home league drafts too. So the shit talk has just been phones blowing up. So it's been a good time. We got another question here from Derek Monk. Who will be the best dynasty DB between John Johnson and Taylor Rapp? They have John Johnson listed as free safety, which makes me nervous. I need a tackle machine out of them.
John Johnson is the tackle machine.
Yeah. Agreed. And Taylor Rapp had a really high tackles last year too. So you're kind of looking
because Johnson got hurt.
This is true. Weddle still had, like, I think he had 100 tackles too. So it's whatever safeties they have out there are going to produce. It's kind of like Sean Williams and Jesse Bates at this point. Like, maybe one is in this role. Yeah, we liked both of them last year. That's why I'm still on Von Bell. I didn't bring up Jesse Bates in my top 10, but I mean, he's, I think, 14. Throwing numbers out there. He is at 12 officially. I'm looking right at it. And I've got Taylor Rapp at 11. So Von Bell, we finished off our rankings. I had 10, but then my 11 was Taylor Rapp, and then my 12 was Jesse Bates. So, you know, you can get some free safeties can get some love. I don't – this whole thing where I don't want a free safety on my – I mean, I would love to have Jesse Bates and Taylor Rapp on my team. So if someone tells you to not draft a free safety, I mean, just
– Yep. Jesse Bates – and Sean Williams 2 years ago finished top five.
Exactly.
On the same team. So.
And this Rams defense is not looking like it's going to be necessarily stout. I've heard some people kind of say it looks like it's – I mean, they lost Wade Phillips. We lost Dante Fowler. We lost Corey Littleton. We lost Aqib Talib. I mean, so it's Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, John Johnson, Taylor Rapp, and then it's a lot of dot, dot, dots. So – those guys are going to produce, but I don't know about how this unit is going to produce necessarily. So I like them to all produce high numbers across all stats. You know what I mean? Just because they are talented players and they should see plenty of play. So we still got a lot of people in this live stream here, but I'm kind of running out of questions and comments on our guys. We kind of, I guess we can run back our top 10 real quick. I'll run back my top 10, and then Jared, you can run us back on your top 10. But my top 10 defensive backs going into the season right now are Jamal Adams at 1, Buda Baker at 2, Landon Collins at 3, Derwin James at 4, Jabril Peppers at 5, John Johnson 6, Tracy Walker 7, Jordan Poyer 8, Harrison Smith 9, and Von Bell at 10. And then Jared, who are you guys?
For me, very similar. I have Buda Baker, Jamal Adams. My third guy, I just had a mental blank. I don't have my list pulled up in front of me because it's usually up in front of you. Who is my third guy? Is it Peppers? You have my list in front of you, right? Jordan, you're muted, so you're not helping me here.
There we go. Your top 10 are Buda Baker, Jamal Adams, Landon Collins, Derwin James, John Johnson, Jordan Poyer, Tracy Walker, Jesse Bates, Harrison Smith, and Justin Simmons. Sorry about that.
Yeah, like I said, no, you're good. I appreciate it. I don't have my list in front of me right now. So, like you said, we're having weird computer issues. People are asking about different things. Obviously, we saw, Yannick traded this morning. First thing we announced, when we got on the show this morning was Yannick. Somebody asked, what is Isaiah Simmons ceiling this year? I have no idea because we don't even know where he's going to play. They have already said they moved him to four different positions. They said, we're going to keep him in one spot. If you look in camp, he's everywhere. So they're basically playing him like they did in Clemson.
Somebody shout out, asked, Zach. Give Zach a shout out. Appreciate you, Zach.
Always here for you.
Happy you got Yannick.
With Tracy Walker, long-term talent. I like Tracy Walker long-term. I think he's going to be there for the next 4 years. So
yeah, he's still on a rookie deal, isn't he? I mean, they're not going to get rid of him.
They got rid of the old guys in front of them, so we could make a deal for him probably. So
yeah,
if he has another big year, don't get it twisted. He's going to get paid.
Nice. All right, let's bring Steve in here and let's shut this thing down. It's been a good time.
Let's talk about next week.
What are we doing next time? We're going to do I think we should either do like a hot takes episode, but maybe kind of something like that,
We're going to splish and splash. I'm going to throw all my top 25 rookies. Cause I said, we're going to change it. With three of my rookie candidates are on IR now. So Xavier McKinney, Curtis Weaver, and, Grant Delpit all on IR. So my rookie rankings are changed. Maybe I'll just do a show later this week. Give everybody my updated top 25 because I don't want to give you guys, a bad take. We might do a hot take. That'd be hot takes.
I think that's kind of what I've had going when I mentioned that. We'll have to talk about it, If you guys have any suggestions, let us know. But we're probably going to go forward with like a hot takes or kind of, bold predictions, or bust kind of stuff. So next week. So, Steve, how'd we do? We miss anything?
No, I think you did pretty good. It was Derek that answered asked the question that I was going to ask about John Johnson and the coaching and scheme change and with
Wade Phillips.
John Johnson. Tackles for days.
Oh yeah. Well, and I just wanted to address that when we got together and talked about it and stuff like that. And I love Tracy Walker.
Oh yeah.
It's amazing.
Beast mode.
I love the list you guys put together.
Cool. Cool. Well, that's pretty much
Von Bell. I think he's going to do amazing this season.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. He should be the opportunity should be there.
I've seen some rankings lists where they don't have him very high, and I think they're wrong.
Tell him, Steve.
Yep, he's going to be top 10, I believe.
Nice. All right, well, I'm going to close my bit out, guys. Go check out my my other show, Defense Matters, mostly IDP, all fantasy football. I'm going to put up a new episode of that probably tomorrow, give a little rankings update, drop some more, you know, announcements, news-type stuff. You don't want to get too caught up in the hype, but it's actually been kind of fun. So that's going to be happening, and then we'll have our either our hot take show next week or kind of our bold prediction show next week. Like I said, leave us a rating, leave us a review, tell your friends about us, tell everybody you know, IDP 123, it's coming, it's in a league near you, it's going to be in your league next year, don't fight it, embrace it, let's do this thing. IDP Army, we love you, that's all from me.
Thanks, Russ. As next week, you know, we appreciate you guys, keep hopping on, ask the questions, your hot take, you know, we should have fun next week for sure. Until next week, let's go, let's go, let's go.
In a wormhole, probably about to burn. In a white tunnel, are you ever gonna learn? See a land, probably gonna merge. Gonna be dead laying in the dirt. Funny how you smart, but you still a nerd. Play your part, world gon' turn.